Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and Dawn is with me.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to welcome back to VI Talk. It's been quite a while, but Laura Hughes, who is the Managing Director of More Vision, which is a charity here in Devon. Hi Laura.
Hi Jo, hi Dawn, nice to be
Hello.
With you.
Yeah, good to have you back. Do you want to start by giving us a brief, for those who don't know, I'm sure loads of people do, but do you want to give us a brief outline of how More Vision started and what it is?
How did it started? It was sort of started by accident, really. I have a daughter, a young adult now, who is herself vision impaired, and she got to the age of 7, and she just said to me one day, she said, "Mummy, I've never met another little girl with poorly eyes before." And we suddenly thought, she really hasn't. There were none at school. We just hadn't ever met a child with a vision impairment. So one way or another, through kind of various contacts, I managed to track down 3 or 4 other parents like ourselves who had children with vision impairments. And we met up and we had a nice day out. And that's all this was really meant to be, if I'm honest with you. And by the end of the year, we all knew 1 or 2 other people, and they kind of tagged on. And then we had 12. And by the end of the next year, we had like 20 sets of parents. And I don't really know what happened. I feel like I've blinked. And 15 years later, I'm the managing director of a charitable incorporated organisation with 3 other staff and an office and 175 families.
Wow. That's incredible.
Amazing. Amazing. Can you tell us a little bit of what kind of events you do for the children?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we started, and still to this day, I think activities have always been a real core part of our delivery. We work with young people aged from 0 to 25. They each have vision impairment, ranging from a mild vision loss to children who are severely sight impaired. And I'd say 40% of our children have some level of additional need as well. So we have children who have hearing loss as well. We have children with very complex needs. And activities are the one thing they often find hard to access, both in and out of school. So we've always had activities as the core of our delivery. And that can be, I mean, our motto is no challenge too large. And we do it all. We do zip wiring and climbing and bodyboarding and, you know, you name it, we do it. I think possibly the bodyboarding was almost a challenge too far, but we still did it. And we also do lots of drama and arts and crafts and music and science related things. So we do a really wide range of activities. And we usually manage to do a couple of residential trips for the children each year as well.
So I've been on one of your residentials to Calvert Trust. So for those who don't know, I was a trustee of More Vision for a year.
You were.
And it was incredible experience to see children with such complex needs, zip wiring and abseiling, and it was just an incredible experience, I have to say.
So I should say, actually, that we do have a small subgroup as well of parents who are visually impaired, and some of them are the parents of children in the group, but some of them are parents of sighted children. And we just felt that we had quite a lot of advice and things to offer, like, you know, where you can get Braille or large print books to read to your child. So we do actually also welcome parents of we welcome VI parents of children in the area who are sighted or visually impaired themselves.
And you also produce a newsletter, don't you?
We do. We do a big newsletter a couple of times a year, which is usually about 40 pages long. And it usually has a theme. So, we might have an education theme or a science and nature theme. But I think as time's gone on, as well as the activities, we do more and more in the way of family support and welfare support. And I think the biggest thing we do is educational advocacy. And that's always in really high demand because, you know, our view is that, you know, 4 hours of abseiling with More Vision on a Saturday is going to really help your confidence. It's going to enable you to make friends. It's good for your general health. But if you're not having an easy time in school and there's a problem with your provision, that 4 hours isn't going to do what it needs to do. So we do a lot of educational advocacy work right up to kind of tribunal level.
Brilliant. Do you allow the siblings of the visually impaired children to join in with them as well, or is it solely for visually impaired kids?
No, we're very much a family-based group. So for almost everything we do, it's for the immediate family. So the parents will come and the children and definitely the siblings. If it's an activity where, like for our older children, once they're 13, they can come without their parents, we always welcome the siblings. Always. We've never, unless it's something incredibly specific, like we had a money course where children were taught about how to manage money as a visually impaired young person. And that was just for the ones who were visually impaired. But almost everything we do is for the siblings as well.
So how has lockdown affected more vision? Let's go back to lockdown one.
Lockdown one, yes. Gosh, that was a very long time ago, wasn't it?
Oh. It was.
Well, I think it would be fair to say week one, I think it would be fair to say I just panicked completely. I just didn't know. You know, I think we all panicked really then. It was a difficult time. And then I got my head in gear and I thought, you know, this is not a time to be stopping. This is a time to be carrying on, if not expanding, because everyone's going to have their kids at home. Everyone's going to be struggling to access their children's education. Not everyone, but almost everyone. And people are going to be going through more. I mean, we now know people have been through more than we could have sadly expected, but people will be going through a really difficult time. So after the first week of panic, I spent then a month probably just doing grant applications, you know, COVID emergency grant applications. And we contacted everyone and said, this is all we can do this month. And once that was done, so by then we were kind of in late April, we then started a program, we got lots of volunteers involved, and we started to phone every family. We phoned every family to check up on them. We started to do lots of online kind of group work for teenagers. We did things like games and quizzes and lots of family support, educational support, lots of support with you know, people on low incomes and the kind of things that were happening. And then we kind of felt we're really missing our activities, and of course we couldn't do them. So we set up a program of what we call summer virtual activities, and we had over the summer holidays, each week had a theme. So we had a festival week, we had a science week, a sports week, and the families were sent activities to do for those weeks. So there'd be six activities to do, and they would do the activities, and then we'd get together once a week and we'd all share what we'd done, and they could show us things they'd made, and talk about what they'd done in their week. And that was really successful, actually. It was really popular, which was nice. It was really good.
Sounds amazing. So moving sort of a little bit forward, I know you've continued to do a really good program of events, haven't you, and continue to support all of those families, which is no mean feat.
Yeah, we have. I put in because, you know, what I realised is, whereas before I'd been dependent on my administrator, who's been absolutely super through all of this. She's called Ali, and she definitely deserves to be mentioned because she's been, you know, she's really done a good job. And our volunteers, you know, suddenly there was no kind of taking 150 people to the theatre or for the Christmas panto, because that can't happen at the moment. And I put in for some grants on the basis of we need to work in much smaller groups and one-to-one. So therefore we need more staff, not less staff. And in the autumn, we took on two new members of staff. So we took on an activities coordinator called Ellie and a family engagement coordinator called Hannah. And they are both absolutely wonderful as well. They've settled in. I couldn't wish for better staff, if I'm honest with you. And through that, we've been able to really expand what we do. So as well as after the summer activities, we repeated that kind of pattern for Halloween and for Christmas. But Ellie, at the moment, she's running something called our Around the World Club. So every other week she prepares, again, activity packs which get sent out. So if we're doing we did Lapland one week, so the children were freezing things and making like snow, like filling up balloons with water and freezing them, and lots of very tactile hands-on activities, making food from that country, listening to music from that country. And then when we get together on the Zoom activity at the weekend, we get our things out of the freezer and we say, well, how are you gonna get that out of the ice? You know, you're gonna melt it, you're gonna chew it, you're gonna hit it.
Brilliant.
And we do some language, we do some audio guided tours of the countries, that kind of thing. So we've just done, we did China last week. I think our next one's Australia. So we're going around the world in a kind of audio friendly way. That's been really successful. And we're also bringing in outside support. So on a Monday night, we run an independent living skills class for parents, because of course the children aren't getting a lot of HAB support at the moment. So we've brought a specialist in to deliver, you know, everything from cooking and hygiene and, you know, kind of basic independent skills. We've already finished our over 10s and we're now doing our under 10 group. We're running in conjunction with Look Charity, who again have been at, they've delivered at a very, very high rate since the beginning of COVID. And we're jointly with them delivering a Braille course. So it's a Braille course for sighted parents of VI children who suddenly all found themselves at home with their braining children and unable to be able to support them, which was obviously a serious problem for everybody, particularly the children. So we've already completed one full Braille course and we're now just starting our second one next week, actually, which is exciting. We've had Gwyn McCormack in from Positive Eye, and she's delivered a series of sort of shows for children with very high level of need and sight loss and hearing loss. They've been really good. And we're working with Rock Choir, who do some lovely children's events, and A, we get a bit of a subsidy, which is good, and B, I work with them and I send out the words in large print or Braille or whatever's needed to the children, and then they join in the activity, which is a generic activity for anybody for that age. So we're kind of really looking outside us. What we're doing is we're looking outside and we're bringing in what we don't have the expertise to do. So we're flat out, really. I hardly get any off.
It sounds like it.
Can I ask, because obviously I work with some kiddies in the Northwest as well in our local authority, can I ask you how the kids have coped with doing things over Zoom, you know, particularly the younger ones?
A few of them have struggled. We've tried to keep things quite separate. So we have a different group for our children with very complex needs, and they tend to come with a carer or an adult with them. On the whole, it seems to be the children who are just really excitable who struggle more than the children who are completely blind, and we have a few. But we say at the beginning, we will try and describe everything. So if another child wants to show us their the cakes they made, the Chinese style cakes they've made, that's lovely. But we'll make sure, because the child may be too young to realize that the other children need them described, so we'll say, well, you know, Jamie is holding up a plate of cakes and they are, you know, this size and they've made a blah 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 and they've got something on the top. So we really try hard to keep on top of that. We say to them, and if we don't, tell us off, shout at us, and they do. Bless them. And on the whole, I think what happens is the first time they join us, they're a bit fidgety and a bit kind of, you know, all over the place. But as time goes on, they tend to settle and get used to it. We tend to stick to the same kind of pattern and they settle to it and they do engage, actually. I think one of the highlights was the Halloween party, where we had a lot of children and they were all dressed up and they all had their Halloween sweets, and we'd done a week of Halloween activities beforehand and they wanted to show us. And it was things like, you know, we did some Halloween dancing, so things like the Monster Mash, and we had a really good video to share, which was people just dressed in black against a white background rather than a complex background, so the children with some vision could see and follow the dances. And of course we also would, you know, say left hand out, right hand, whatever, and we just try to make it, it's impossible to get it spot on, but we try to make it as inclusive as possible. I have to say that one was particularly inclusive, because about 10 minutes before it started, I cut my finger dreadfully badly, and there wasn't time to do anything other than just wrap it up. And in the middle of the Halloween party, one of the siblings, who could see perfectly well, he said, look, you've got fake blood dripping from your hand. That's amazing. And I was like, I know, I said. And literally, I finished the Zoom session and we got straight in the car, and I was at the Plymouth Hospital within 20 minutes having it stitched up.
Oh, no.
That's still dedication.
So, yeah, we try to make it realistic, I'd say.
Yeah, a little too.
But yeah, it is. Some of them don't cope very well. And for those children, we tend to work more with the kind of virtual activities, and they might send us, you know, a photo of what they've done, and we email back and say that's really super, you know. But most of them have got used to it now.
What does the future hold for More Vision? I know it's a very difficult question to answer at the moment, isn't it? Because who really knows?
Well, I mean, we're a small charity. Like I said, there's only four of us, and I'm the only one who's full time. We're growing. We're still getting new members, which is good. We are always aware that we have to maintain an income, which is obviously key to keeping the charity going. We're very lean. We have very, very low overheads, and we try to put out almost everything that comes in as direct services. You know, if you'd asked me this a year ago, I'd say, right, well, we're postponing all of our summer activities till next year and we'll do them then. And this is now next year. And we have just postponed one of our May activities, postponed from last year to September. And even that I'm not 100% about. We haven't booked anything in for sure, put it that way, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there'll be another variant. We don't know. I mean, we're hoping that with the vaccine that the numbers will fall dramatically and we can get back out. So what we have done is we've already put into place some things that could be possible. So we've got four sailing trips booked. Now, that might be only one or two families per trip. It may be up to five families per trip. But we've got them booked and reserved and ready to go. And if at the absolute bottom line it can only be one family, that's what we'll do. If it can be five families, that's what we'll do. And we've also done that with things like kayaking, a lot of outdoor stuff, where the children can be kept separate, where we've been told families could go in their own boats and be bubbled. So we're trying to put into place as much as possible that could be done with a small lift in restrictions that can be adapted if there's a big lift in restrictions. But I have to say, our two residentials have both been put forward to the autumn. And we're just hoping against hope. Those children desperately want to come. And we're just hoping that we can do it.
Do you fund the activities or do the families make a contribution?
We usually ask for a 25% contribution, partly because a charity of our size, it's quite useful to have the income, and partly because we find people are more likely to turn up if they've contributed. And you know, when if you've done a lot of work for an activity and lots of people have booked and you've paid for it in advance and then they don't come, it's a big loss to the charity. So we do ask for 25%. So, you know, if a day out would cost, say, £10 a head, that means a family of four can come for £10, which is quite reasonable. But we half that again for families on low income. And we don't ask them to prove their low income. We don't say only if you get free school meals, because we're very aware that some families are really struggling at the moment. So we have you may pay £5 for a family of four to go out for the day. And we also have a completely concessionary rate, which we do use. We have a special fund where we can fully fund families to do things as well. So it's a sliding scale, and we're quite generous.
Excellent. Fabulous. Can I come on to one of the activities, please?
Oh, honestly, it's amazing. I can't.
I love it. Yeah. I'd absolutely love it.
I have to say, we did manage to squeeze a few in December when we were in lockdown in Tier 2. So we did sail with Santa on the River X, and again all the families were bubbled separately. They had to keep completely apart, and Santa saw a family and then went off and cleaned up and then saw another family. And because we were on a boat on the River X, we were outdoors, and we felt that was perfectly okay because everyone was outdoors and bubbled, and it was also in keeping with the law at that time. Again, it was one of those things where, you know, I don't think anyone got COVID, but I'm sure a few of us went home with pneumonia. Honestly, so cold. And we did a walk around Powderham Castle, which is a beautiful castle, and it's all lit up. So for the children, even the children who just have light perception, were aware how beautiful it was. But we also worked with the castle, and we had special singing elves and bells and, you know, chocolate and stuff. And with that, we set the families off, one family every 5 minutes, so they were apart. And yeah, I mean, it meant 3.5 hours in the car park for me and me and Ellie, but, you know. It was a long time in the car park giving out audio information and bells to people. But they loved it. They really, really loved it. For some families, it was the first time they'd been out all year.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, of course, my daughter, who is now 22, she doesn't really use the group anymore because she's a university student. So, but she's still there at the heart of it, in what keeps us going, I think.
Yeah. Well, so can you just outline what the criteria is for anybody who wants to join More Vision, where they need to, you know, the boundaries of where they need to live, sort of thing?
Right, well, we are a Devon-based charity, and as much as we put on our activities almost all in Devon, that's where we started and that's what we do. We also do a few in Cornwall. And occasionally we'll, you know, hire a coach and go to Longleat or something like that, but not often. But we accept membership from any adjoining county. So that's Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly, Somerset and Dorset. And that goes quite a long way. I mean, Somerset, we've just had a family join from Weston-super-Mare. I have to say, I felt dreadful because I said no, because I thought they were in Avon. And then someone told me Avon hasn't existed since 1996. So Avon is Weston-super-Mare is now in North Somerset. So we have, I'd say 20% of our families are from Dorset and Somerset, and maybe another 20% from, maybe 10% from Cornwall. And the rest are Devon, and Devon includes Plymouth and Torbay. We don't have any truck with what local authority you live in. That doesn't matter to us. So we cover 7 local authorities, which does make life complicated. So that's the geographical area. The age is 0 to 25, which is in keeping with the normal age for special needs provision. The criteria are any child who has a visual loss that is not fully correctable by glasses. So we've had people who've said, you know, my child's really long-sighted or really short-sighted, but when they wear their glasses, they can see perfectly well. And we, unfortunately, though we're sympathetic, we can't have every non- and short-sighted child in the country. No. I mean, I'm short-sighted. I have to wear glasses to drive, but I'm not visually impaired. And trying to explain that sometimes can be hard. But we also have many children who, when they wear their glasses, they can see a bit better than without their glasses, but they are not fully corrected. So, for instance, my daughter, it would be, you know, I think something like 260, which is very, very low without her glasses, and probably twice as good as that with her glasses, but she's still, you know, seriously sight impaired. So that's our criteria, really, is having an uncorrectable sight loss, 0 to 25, Devon or Somerset, Cornwall and Dorset. We are absolutely no barrier to children with additional needs at all. Children with hearing loss, children with complex, profound, multiple disabilities are all welcome, but they have to also have the sight impairment. If they don't, we'd normally signpost them to other charities.
Yeah.
We just very happy to welcome anyone. And also, like I said, we also have, and we're something we haven't done as much work as I would have liked to have done, but now with our new family support person, we're going to do a little bit more work on, you know, for parents who are themselves visually impaired, regardless of whether their children are sighted or not. So watch the space, I would say.
So how can people contact you?
We've got a website, which is www.morevision.org. And the More Vision is spelt M-O-O-R, Vision, like Dartmoor, because that's where I live. And we've also got an email address, very similar, which is info@morevision.org. You can search for us on Facebook, just literally put in More Vision, spelt with the M-O-O-R. And I don't think there's many other people called that on Facebook. You can just Google More Vision and we come up. There's nothing else. There is one company in the world called More Vision who make films or something, but there's very little else like us. And our telephone number is 07581566690. And we do have a landline, but I'm never in the office these days. I'm not allowed to be, so I won't give that at the moment.
I'll put all those details in the description with this interview so that people won't have to remember them or anything. So that's fine.
We tend to just send out a registration form, but for families where both the parent and child have a visual impairment, we're always happy to register people over the phone or by whatever means is easiest. We're pretty good on accessible information. We do try to make sure that things we send on are accessible. I've just had our website analysed as being accessible, which is good.
Fabulous.
We're very good at alt text. Not all. I do forget sometimes on my personal page, but I do try really hard with the alt text because we know how important it is.
Yeah, definitely.
And I should say actually that VI Talk has been really, really good at helping spread the word about our services. And I refer people to VI Talk so often.
Thank you.
Especially the parents, and say, do have a look at VI Talk. Do join it because you'll get so much support there.
Great. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been an absolute pleasure and really good to hear about what you're, you know, offering, you know, huge amounts of support and activities still, despite lockdown and really difficult circumstances.
So it's amazing. Brilliant
Thank
service.
You. Well, it's a lovely job to have. I feel very, very privileged to do this work. So, but yeah, really great to talk to you all.